Good evening. I think we need introductions around.
I'm Britt. I'm with that.
Andy.
Russ.
Connie.
Who's here?
Jeffrey.
Mandy.
Julie.
Wonderful to see you, Connie.
Thank you.
It's been a long time.
I feel the same way.
Oh, wonderful. We are studying Uji. So those of you who don't have a copy of it might want to have a copy. I've got lots of them tonight, so it's not a problem. Thank you, Britt. I've numbered the paragraphs. And we're just going paragraph by paragraph each Tuesday night is one paragraph. Thank you. And we've done the first two. This is probably of all the things Dogen Zenji wrote or spoke, this is the most mysterious. A very famous scholar whose specialty is Dogen Zenji calls Dogen a mystical realist. And although that seems like a contradiction in terms, actually it seems, especially in light of this material, to be exactly right. He is trying to point to something quite profound in terms of time and the self, of how it is that we on this earth can be like this. And what he says is that we are the time of us, and the time of us is us. And if you think about that, it means that whenever we are, whatever moment we're in, the whole rest of the world is in it too. It isn't that I have my own moment and it's discreet and it's my own personal private property, but that although each of us is a world and a moment, it's all the same time. And Dogen goes on to talk about how each moment is its own self. So it isn't all strung together in a long line from birth to death. One of his images is firewood, that he says firewood is its own position, its own dharma position, and it doesn't turn into ash. It's that if it's firewood, it's firewood. If it's ash, it's ash. So I will read number three, which is where we are. Very short one. Know that in this way, in the way the self arrays itself, is the form of the entire world. Know that in this way the self arrays itself, there are myriad of forms and hundreds of grasses throughout the entire earth. Meaning, there's so much stuff. And yet each grass and each form itself is the entire earth. The study of this is the beginning of practice. When you are at this place, there is just one grass. There is just one form. There is understanding of form and no understanding of form. There is understanding of grass and no understanding of grass. Since there is nothing but just this moment, the time being is all the time there is. Grass being and form being are both time. Each moment is all being, is the entire world. Reflect now whether any being or any world is left out of the present moment. Now, the great scholar of Dogen, Heejin Kim, translates it a little differently. Instead of yet each grass and each form itself is the entire earth, he says each grass and each form occupies the whole earth. And he says you too are the entire earth. When you are at this place, you are just one grass. You are just one form. We talk often in Buddhism about the seamlessness of life, of our understanding of impermanence, which brings up time immediately. And what Thich Nhat Hanh always talks about in depth as the interconnectedness of all things. But it isn't that we're all hooked together in some kind of fancy way. It's just that the whole thing lives as it is. Katagiri calls this section intimacy with all beings. Intimacy. That's the truth of it. This is the truth of it. And we begin to experience that in the most amazing way when we even first begin to sit zazen with other people. Even though we never talk to them, we can sit a whole week sesshin next to someone and never speak, and yet a tremendous intimacy grows up between people who are sitting together. It's the natural intimacy that we are already when our impediments drop off, you could say, when we relax and allow it in, allow us to be together. Katagiri says we are connected and simultaneously we are going back and forth. And this is the real state of existence of all sentient beings. And that is our experience. We will have it sent the whole true knowledge of being, the seamless connectedness of all being, and then we get up and make breakfast and are completely connected to what we're doing as an activity, as the particular. And each action is an action with the particular, with an object, a thing. So we can see the world as a whole bunch of things, and we can also see the world and experience it as this, as it is, in the moment. And we go back and forth. I've just come from a retreat, as a women's retreat in the foothills of the Sierras, in view of the granite of Yosemite, beautiful place. Three women teachers, and we had three different points of view, or three different teachings, or ways of looking at the teachings. Grace Shireson, whose book some of you know, who wrote about women in Buddhism, in Zen especially, gave a talk a series of talks. We talked every day. And I did writing exercise with people. My job was to persuade people that they could write, and that if they did write, they would be surprised by what was inside. First day, everybody is always very nervous. And then the second day, everybody is starting to get into it. And the third day, it's hard to stop. And Darlene Cohen was the third teacher. And her subject was energy. Actually, it's the third paramita, virya, it's called in Sanskrit. It was so inspiring, talking about how to be as an energetic being in this world, how to be with our intention, how to hold our intention, how to find the depth of our energy, not the running around like a mouse in a cage or the way we usually do, just always figuring things out and doing, but actually being present, just as Dogen is talking about, being the present that we are. And when we do something, putting our whole self into it, rather than skimming over the top, psh, 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 like that. And as a result, not actually living the life that we're living. Missing it. She talked a lot about blockage and leakage. Said we often block our energy. We keep ourselves from, we get lazy. We get, we lose our confidence and just sort of say, oh, I couldn't do that. Those kinds of things. Or we leak it. We just do a bunch of stupid stuff because we don't really want to face and be where we are and who we are in the moment. So she spoke about it eloquently and wonderfully. She, who is not very well, has always had, for many, many years, had rheumatoid arthritis, so she can't get around very well and is always in pain. And you wouldn't know it from the way she is. She's just absolutely there and gives of herself completely. So she was a wonderful model. And a model for this very material that Dogen is talking about. So, knowing this, even getting a glimpse of this kind of knowledge about ourselves gives us some kind of sense of security and faith in our life, confidence in our life. And that's the bodhisattva mind. And that's what the paramitas are, is an exposition, a very simple presentation of bodhisattva mind, of generosity and ethics and virya, energy, patience, meditation, and wisdom. I'd like to actually do one of these Tuesday evening series on the paramitas one of these days. It's very, very helpful. So when we're confident, then it's more easy to act. It's more easy to say yes to what there is before us to do. And this itself is way-seeking mind, bodhisattva mind, because everyone is with us. We're not alone. And then we practice for the sake of everything. And this is what we call saving all sentient beings. It isn't standing up in some high place and saying, oh, now you poor sods down there, I'm going to save you. It's being with everything and everyone. Acknowledging and recognizing and celebrating and enacting. So this little paragraph is also about the self seeing itself, that living in the world of form, we see each thing with dignity and respect. And that's something else that came through about Virya, that if we truly are with what we're doing, it is with dignity and respect. So we respond to each thing as a sister or a brother or a monk or a sage or a Buddha. So this last thing about no understanding is the best, I think. I love that. There is understanding of form and no understanding of form. There is understanding of grass and no understanding of grass. Since there is nothing but just this moment, the time being is all the time there is. Grass being and form being are both time. So we will never understand it all. We'll never get there. Not even to the bottom of a blade of grass. There's a famous story about William James, the famous scientist at Harvard 150 years ago or so, who, when he was a student, applied to the famous professor to go to study at Harvard. And the professor said, well, yes, I'll give you a test. And he gave him a jar with a pickled fish in it. And he said, just spend some time with this fish and I'll come back and get you. And write down everything that you can notice about the fish. And so William James wrote and wrote and wrote, and the guy didn't come back until the end of the day. So he'd written copiously, and he said, ah, man, I've got everything I could think of about this fish. And the teacher looked at the list that he'd made, and he said, oh, that's good. He said, come back tomorrow. And he did it for a week. And the professor said, now, sir, I hope you understand that there is no end to this fish or to anything else that you will ever study. However we look, there is always more. I expect we've all read Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind. And Beginner's Mind that Suzuki Roshi is talking about is the same as this. That every moment we're starting over. Every moment we're born again. And every moment we die. So we're never the same. Although we would like to be, we'd like to hold on and nail down the parts we like and hope that the other parts go away. But the way it is that just this moment is what it is. And then it's gone. In terms of how we live this moment, in terms of the largeness of it, it's all present. So we're living past and future as well as the present. We contain multitudes, as Walt Whitman said. It's very paradoxical, but we can feel it, especially if we're not thinking so hard and trying to compare, but just to try to be open to how things are. We can feel it. So that's what I have for this. Are there questions?
Could we speak about that paragraph that follows the Soviet two sentences? Each moment is all being, is the entire world.
Yes.
Reflect now either any being or any world is the past, present, and future. I find as an old student that last sentence especially is very difficult. It's especially in our training with aversion.
Mm-hmm.
We want to push away.
Yes.
People we want to exclude.
Mm-hmm.
Are the people and the things that he's talking about out there.
You're right, Jeffrey. And people argue about it and say, "Well, not Hitler. Couldn't be Hitler or Attila the Hun or some. There's some truly." Bad people out there and bad things that happen. I mean, Hurricane Katrina and the oil spill and the poor dead pelicans and all of those things. And we feel it. We cannot close ourselves away from the world, although we try and try. And we're so prosperous. Even in this crunchy time, we're so prosperous that we can shut ourselves away from a great deal of what's happening. And bodhisattva practice is to open up to all of it. Which means, in a way, that as we take on Zen practice, we take on suffering. Not in a mea culpa kind of way, or punishing ourselves, or anything like that. It's just acknowledging how it is with us. The beauty and the poignance and the terror, the dark and the light. Thank you. That's very important.
Mm-hmm. And I've been similarly I've been doing a lot of studying on destructive emotions and been finding a lot of constructive help in that. And I've been trying to soak my mind in love and kindness. Mm-hmm. And that's another kind of metaphor for sitting in Zazen. Too.
Mm-hmm.
Is that sitting when we're being really good to ourselves and to take that attitude and get off my cushion or off the chair here.
Yes.
And go outside. I'm a teacher and I work with children.
Mm.
So I particularly have to be 24/7 that kind of person.
Yes.
Or I'm showing children, wrong example.
Yeah. How old are the kids?
Well, for a quarter century, I worked with kids who were anywhere from kindergartners up through fifth grade.
Hmm.
And then
nice.
Currently, I'm in a summer camp for children who are in children's musical theater.
Huh. Sounds like fun. I see. That's very much fun.
Whether you're in education or whether you're doing teaching them how to sing, dance, or move. It's the same.
Yes. Lots of energy, too. It reminds me of Jack Kornfield's story about the gardener. I've told it here a number of times. When he first went to Bodh Gaya and studied with someone there in town. And his first task was to practice loving kindness with the gardener. And the monk who told him that said, just every time you see him, just feel kindness and compassion toward this man. And Jack said it was a skinny, old, ugly guy in a dhoti. You know, that he had nothing on except this little diaper thing. And he had come from America, from this good life, and he was all set to get enlightened, and he was supposed to do loving kindness with this creepy little guy. He just couldn't believe it. But he tried. And he tried and he tried, and he said after 2 weeks he couldn't believe it. He loved that man so much. Totally adored him. Because he knew him. He actually got to know him. He let him in little by little. That's a possibility for all of us, anywhere, anytime. And really important to know. And that's about taking time also. Often we think, oh, I don't have time to do all of that. I'll be kind to my family and my friends, but, you know, those other people, they can take care of themselves. I don't have time. But actually, we have all the time that we need for whatever we do. It's just a matter of thinking. How we think about it. Well, it's five of. Let's do a 5-minute sit, shall we?